I think it goes back to the same question we've been asking ourselves. Do we really trust God? Do we trust Him with our walks, that He's there, that He listens to us?
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store for. In Christ.
We continue through the book of Ezra in the Building Foundation series. Previously, we saw how Ezra set his heart to seek God's word, to live it out, and to teach it to others. Today, we come to Ezra chapter 7, 11 through 28, with a message titled, Letter from the King. In this passage, King Artaxerxes writes a letter giving Ezra authority, provision, and protection for the journey. What's striking is this: God uses a pagan king to support his purpose. The resources, the permission, even the encouragement, all of it comes together at just the right time. Ezra recognizes it clearly. This is the hand of God at work. What God called him to do, God also provided for. So when God gives direction, he also provides what's needed to follow through. His provision may not always look the way we expect, but his hand is always at work behind the scenes. So, where is God asking you to step forward in faith? And can you trust that He will provide what you need along the way? Let's join Pastor Ben in Ezra chapter 7, verses 11 through 28, with the letter from the king. Here's Pastor Ben.
Grab your Bibles, guys, and head on over to Ezra chapter 7. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the letter from Artaxerxes, which encompasses 11 all the way to 28. The letter only goes up to verse 26, but we're going to be covering all the way to the end of the chapter. Now, remember, it could be a little hard to find unless you have a marker there. So it's right after 2 Chronicles, but right before the book of Nehemiah. And so we're in a series called Foundations. And you guys know this, I say it every Wednesday night. If we were to tweet, if you will, the book of Ezra, we could say that God's people went home to build the temple foundation, but God built in them his foundation. And that's really what we're talking about, the foundation in the Word of God. And what I love about the book of Ezra so much is it's the gospel message in the Old Testament. Ezra chapter 9, verse 9, being the theme verse, says this: For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, to repair us, to the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. So that is the gospel for us. That is the gospel, and I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So give me a good amen if you are in the book of Ezra waiting.
Amen.
Amen. Well, shortly after the end of World War II, a fella by the name of Dr. John McKenzie, he was an officer of the World Council of Churches. He was also a pastor in the Church of Scotland. Most of his parishioners knew him as Dr. McKenzie. Well, Dr. McKenzie was invited to go on a trip to the Balkans with two other pastors. These pastors are both conservative from conservative denominations. Now, their goal was to see how the World Council of Churches, how that money was being spent in the region to help needy churches rebuild after the war. Well, one afternoon, as the story goes, three pastors visited an Orthodox priest in this remote village. Well, the priest was clearly thrilled to receive the visitors, since he normally was quite isolated. As soon as they were seated, he seated his three guests. He goes and he pulls out a box of fine Havana cigars and offered one to each man. Dr. McKenzie gingerly took one, bit off the end, took a few puffs, and said, "Oh, how fine it was." The other two pastors declined. "Oh, no, no, no," they said. "We don't smoke." Their host, shocked, the priest felt bad. And to make amends, he left the room only to return with a flask of his finest wine. Dr. McKenzie accepted the glass, swirled the wine like a connoisseur, and praised its high quality. Soon, he finished the glass and asked for another. The other two pastors again declined, saying, "No, no, 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 we don't drink. No, thank you, we don't drink." After the visit, when they were alone in the car, the two pastors attacked McKenzie. "What were you doing in there?" they asked. "You're an officer of the World Council and a leader in the Church of Scotland. How can you smoke and drink?" "Normally, I don't," he snapped back at them. "But somebody in there had to be a Christian." Now, this story, I believe, it jumped off the pages because it's going to illustrate times when we go to great lengths to put God in a box. And if we're being honest in church tonight, we do it all the time. It happens to the best of us. It happened to these two pastors who refused to recognize the way God could be present when someone accepts an offer of hospitality from a stranger, even if it means breaking the rules. And it happens when someone says, "Unless you get your hair cut and look presentable, you cannot be a Christian." It happens when someone says, "Oh, I don't need to come to church to worship God." They think, "I do it just fine in their garden. I worship God in my garden or on the golf course. Thank you very much." But one way or another, we all put God in a box sometimes. You go, "Pastor, what's the point?" Here it is. God simply cannot be placed in a box. When he so chooses, I want you to think about this. Let it soak in. He can use pagan kings to accomplish his will and his plan for Israel. In a letter preserved to us, if you're taking note, it's not in Hebrew, it's actually in Aramaic, because we have word for word a decree from the pagan king that blesses Pastor Ezra and the teaching of his people. And as we make our way, church, through our study tonight, keep this in mind, the many ways that God works to fulfill his plan. Let us be reminded, dear saints, that we should not put God in a box thinking if he can only work one way or another. Now, before we jump into our text, I want to remind you where we left off last week. Pastor Ezra was giving us three keys to building the foundation of the heart. Go with me to Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." And the three keys he gave us, if you recall, was number one, to study the word of God, to study the word of God. You and I as believers, we're really good to read the word of God, and God speaks to us through that way. But Ezra was determined to grow in his faith by studying the word of God. And we need to commit to study the word of God, looking through it, seeing, going through and understanding, studying the word of God. We should know the word of God so much, church, that when false teaching comes through the airwaves or the internet or whatever it might be, immediately you go, no, that's not right. That's not right. And we need to be careful. The second thing we learned about building the foundation of our heart was to live the word of God. And we understand that we need to be obedient to the word. We need to be obedient to what God says. It's not a free-for-all to go, "Oh, I want to do this, or I want to do that, or I can run here, I can run that." He says, "I'm going to live the word of God." And church, we need to understand right now that your walk, your life with Jesus is to glorify Jesus, and actually it's for other people. Your life is to glorify God so other people go, "Wow, I want what you have." It's called fruit. And the fruit that you produce is for other people. We need to keep that in mind. The third thing we learned last week was that we need to teach the word of God. Do you remember? Teaching the basic truths of the word of God. And you go, "Well, teach them to who?" Well, you don't have to sit down and have a Bible study. You don't have to sit down and go, "Honey, stop, listen, we're going to have a Bible study. Open your Bible right now." That's not what we say, but we go, "Hey, listen, this is what God is speaking to me. What do you think?" Wow, and you have this great dialogue as you begin to teach the truth in the word of God. That's what Ezra's going to do. Well, tonight, church, we discover a letter given by none other than King Artaxerxes to Ezra to bless the work that God has called Ezra to do. Put on your thinking caps. Do you recall the first six chapters? Ezra's not in the picture. He's writing the story, but he's not in the picture. It's not till chapter 7. And Ezra is a beautiful type of the Holy Spirit that comes and to comfort the people. And to, again, what does the Holy Spirit do in our life? He helps us to study the Word of God. Okay, he helps us to live out the Word of God. You know how many times the Holy Spirit has pulled you back from doing something you shouldn't have done or were going to do. You know how many times the Holy Spirit said, delete that text. Don't send it. It's almost like the Holy Spirit is holding your hand and you're like, okay. And the Holy Spirit is so beautiful because it helps us to teach the Word of God. And by the way, you need to know that the teaching from the pulpit here, your actual teacher is the Holy Spirit. There are times when people will come up to me and say, Pastor Ben, I like when you said this, and I was so convicted you said this. And I'm going, I never tell them that, but I'm going, I never really said that. It was God's Holy Spirit in your life convicting you and bringing you to a place. And I'm like, oh, amen, praise God. And I'm like, I don't think I said that. And so Ezra shows up in chapter 7. Verse 10 is kind of the foundation of where he's going to be. Now, what you need to remember, okay, what you need to remember is between the events of chapter 6 and the return of Ezra in chapter 7 is about 57 to 60 year period in there. So you go, what happens? Okay, so my A-type personalities, 70 years of captivity in Babylon, 20 years to build the temple, 60 years between chapter 6 and chapter 7. So all in all, it was 150 years since Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed everything. 150 years. Now, to put it in perspective, think about this. It would be for you and I, 1875. Now, we're just all caught up here in 2025, and we're just like, man, it seems like a lifetime ago, you know, but think about this, 1875 until now. What was God doing? What was God doing then? What is God doing now? I'll tell you what he's been doing. He's been raising up faithful pastors. He was doing it. He was preparing Ezra, and now he continues to prepare men into the pastorate. But just for fun, I thought, what were some things that happened back in 1875? Well, number one, the U.S. Congress authorized a 20-cent coin that lasted only 3 years. The one thing I thought about that is how cool would it be to find a 20-cent coin? Somebody has one out there back in great-grandma has one somewhere. Maybe she doesn't. 20 cents was hard to come by back then. But they did, a 20-cent coin. Billy the Kid escapes jail in Silver City, New Mexico by climbing out of the chimney, and he becomes a fugitive, 1875. A passenger steamship, the Pacific, collides with a sailing vessel, the Orphanus, off Cape Flattery, Washington, and 236 die. And last but not least, it was the Harvard-Yale game, the first college football contest with uniforms. You go, well, that was fun. Think about it. 150 years have passed. It's the same since Nebuchadnezzar came in and he took Israel, Jerusalem, he took them back to Babylon. Between chapter 6 and chapter 7, the whole book of Esther fits in between these chapters. And so now we find ourselves at a point of transition. And although the people had reestablished the temple worship under Zerubbabel and Joshua, they were missing one thing. Put on your thinking caps here, church. You go, what do you mean? Well, see, they had established the outside ritual and religious routine, but they were not living in complete obedience to the law. They weren't living. You see, it's one thing for you and I to call ourselves a Christian. It's one thing for you and I to have a Christian t-shirt, put a Christian bumper sticker on our car. It's one thing for you and I to attend church regularly. But if we're not living in obedience to God's word, then we are just as guilty as the children of Israel back in this day. How many times have you, or do you know of someone who's a Christian atheist? A Christian, you go, what do you mean? Well, they say they believe in God, but they act like he doesn't exist. That's a Christian atheist. And so, again, preaching to the choir, Wednesday night people, this is what's going on. They were not living in complete obedience to the law. Unfortunately, they had lapsed into sin. And God, in his love, sent Ezra to bring them back to the Lord. So Pastor Ezra has a huge, huge task. Think about it. Hello, what's going on? Hey, tell me what's happening over there. Well, we got the temple up, man, you know. It took a while, 16 years, nobody was doing anything. And then we had the prophets come in. And so we got back to work. Yeah, yeah. And what else? Well, we're ready and things are happening here, but the people aren't. Hey, listen, you've got a big task on, man. You better get here. You better get here. It was the task of teaching and preaching the law that Ezra had resigned himself for. Remember in verse 10? Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Lord, to seek the law of the Lord and do it and to teach the statutes and ordinances. This is what Ezra was doing. And God still does the same thing. God continues to prepare men, young men, to study and teach the word of God. The problem is, like any other thing, if man gets a hold of it, then we start to see the theatrics. We start to see the rock star pastors. We start to see all of these things. And I'll tell you what it does for a young man who might be called into the ministry. He goes and he sees these mega churches and he thinks, wow, that could be me. And really, what we want them to do is go, look, I'm going to follow what Ezra said. I'm going to prepare my heart to seek the law of the Lord, to study the word and to live it and to teach it. That's all. That's all. Last week, we studied the way Ezra had prepared himself for the leadership and the Lord's blessing. Now, I want you to note this if you're a note taker. Verses 12 through 26 have been preserved for us in Aramaic, not Hebrew. You need to write that down. Why? Because Aramaic is easier to translate, and we can have the confidence that we have an exact copy of the very letter from King Artaxerxes. So you can take that to the bank. But let me just break it down for you, because if you're not ashamed to write in your Bible or make notes, in verse 11 is Hebrew. Okay, verse 11 is Hebrew. Verse 12 through 26 is Aramaic. And then verse 27 through 28, it comes back to Hebrew, okay? Very, very, very important. You go, okay, but it's in English here, Pastor. Yeah, yeah, but we're going to get the exact letter so that we understand what he's saying. So we're going to pick up our study in verse 11, and it says this. Remember, verse 11 is in Hebrew, and he says this. This is a copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra the priest, the scribe, the expert in the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Well, first and foremost, we need to pull this out and we say, well, who's Artaxerxes? Well, remember who he is. He is also known in history as Artaxerxes Longimanus, okay? Longimanus. And he was the successor to Xerxes. You go, who's Xerxes? Well, Xerxes was another name for the king who married Esther. And it was Ahasuerus. I'm butchering that name right now because I don't have it here in my notes. But he was Xerxes. And the events of the book of Esther took place in between. So you had the king who banished Vashti because he was going to parade her in some pornographic way, if you will. She said, no, 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 I'm not going to go dance naked in front of your friends. Well, that cost her the queenship, if you will. He starts looking. God raises up Esther, and Esther eventually marries Xerxes. Well, Xerxes dies, and guess who? Artaxerxes comes in. That's who Artaxerxes is. So this is a copy of a letter that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra. How did this happen? Well, chapter 6 to chapter 7, there's 60 years break. So life still happens, doesn't it, in between those. And so you're going, oh, so historically, I see how it fits. I see how it fits. Now, put on your thinking caps for just a second, okay? If you don't understand there's a time gap between chapter 6 and chapter 7, and you simply read this, that's what confuses people because you go, wait a minute, what happened? This is not who we were talking about. It was Cyrus and then Darius, and we got a letter from, but now it's, and so you need to understand historical, this is what's happening. And so who's in charge right now in the transition? Well, it's King Artaxerxes. And so he writes a letter, and it's broken up into three sections. We're going to see the permission he gives, jot that down. We're going to see the provision he provides, and then we're going to see the purpose in which he gives. Let me give those to you again really quick. The permission he gives, okay, the provision he provides, and the purpose. Now, again, with a background of not putting God in a box, not thinking that God can only work this way or that way. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Oftentimes, we feel like God will work, and he does work, but we don't always expect him to work in other ways. Say you're in home, and you're praying, and you're gathered together, and you know there's no food in the house, and you're just praying, or maybe you got a bill come, and you're just like, oh, Lord, you know we just don't have any finances, or Lord, we just need this, God, please, 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 please. Please. And so what you do is you put God in a box and you go to the mailbox every single day, hoping that somebody wrote you a check. And so you look and you, oh, not today. Oh, not today. And so all of a sudden we go, well, what do you mean? Well, think about this, guys. God can work in so many other ways, but we tend to put God in a box. Even so, when I go out here and I'll take my little keys and I'll go check the church mailbox, Adam looked at me and he goes, is the $1 million check in there? Why does he say that? Because we're used to God working in a certain way. Well, if God's going to give us $1 million, he obviously is going to put it in our mailbox here. And so you need to realize that God can do whatever he wants to accomplish his plan. And again, it shows us right here. Let's look at the permission. You ready? Verse 12. It says, Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra, the priest, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace, and so forth. Now, look at this. Look at this. This is just amazing, right? Because he starts off and he goes, Artaxerxes, king of kings, right? To who? To Ezra, the priest, right? And he calls himself what? The king of kings. Now, right off the bat, all you Bible students are like, whoa, hold the phone there. We love you, Artie, but you're not the King of Kings. Well, what you need to know is the title King of Kings was assumed by every Babylonian king, and it was frequently used by them. So they would always start, hey, this is Ben, King of Kings, right? To whoever. That's how they would do it, right? And so he goes to Ezra, right? He calls Ezra the priest. He calls him a scribe. And he says, in perfect peace and so forth. I always get a kick out of that in the New King, and so forth, because it sounds like it's like, and so forth, like, I don't want to talk anymore, and so forth. You ever hear that? But that's not what it means, okay? So now he's going to give the content of the letter. So forth means this is perfect peace, and so now let's talk about what I'm really wanting to write. For you and I, it might be, dear so-and-so, I'm writing you today, and then you would tell him why you're writing. In
Christ. As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry. And by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button,
If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.